2 Kings chapter 11. This is lesson number 26. We've been talking about relationships, and we've talked about them from a variety of angles, and we'll continue this for a good while yet. 2 Kings chapter 11. 2 Kings chapter 11. Now, once you find it, look up this way, and then I'll know that you have it. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you the title of my lesson tonight, and parents, hang on. I really do want to help you tonight. The lesson is called Children's Relationship with Parents Who Have Weaknesses. Children's Relationship with Parents Who Have Weaknesses. Parents, you do know they're watching, don't you? I hope you do. And young people, I want to teach you how to behave and how to have a good relationship with mom and dad, if mom and dad might just by some chance not be perfect. All right, 2 Kings chapter 11. I won't get many amens from the adults tonight. Why don't you stand with me if you would, please? 2 Kings chapter 11. I'm going to read out loud, starting with verse number 1. And the Bible says this: "And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal seed. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over that land." Now, I want you to go down to verse number 12. And the Bible says, verse number 12, "And he brought forth the king's son, and put the crown upon him, and gave him the testimony, and they that made him king, and anointed him. And they clapped their hands, and said, God save the king. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes, and cried, treason, treason." Look at verse 16. "And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by which the horses came into the king's house, and there was slain." And let me pray for us. Father, bless the lesson. Help me to help our young people, their attitude toward their mom and dad. Take the lesson tonight, Father, and make us better because of it, please. Holy Spirit of God, control what's said and what's heard, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. There are three main characters in the verses that I just shared with you. There is Athaliah. She was a mom and a grandma in this story. There is Ahaziah, her son. Then there's Ahaziah's children. They're referred to as the royal seed. These would have been children or grandchildren. Athaliah's, and so you all understand, some of you will, when you hear these next two names, you'll quickly know who they are. Athaliah's parents' names were Ahab and Jezebel, and these were pretty cantankerous parents, this Ahab and Jezebel. Now, Ahaziah, one of the main characters of the story tonight, was the king of Judah. There was a revolution against him by a man by the name of Jehu. Now, you don't have to look at it. I'm going to read to you from 2 Kings chapter number 9. And in 2 Kings 9:27, it says, "And when Ahaziah the king of Judah saw this, he fled by way of the garden house, and Jehu followed after him and said, Smite him also in the chariot. And they did so at the going up of Gur, which is by Eblim, and he fled to Megiddo and died there." So here's the story. Ahaziah was the king of Judah. A man by the name of Jehu attacks him, and there's a revolt against him as king. And according to 2 Kings 9:27, Ahaziah the king dies. Now Ahaziah's mother immediately has all of Ahaziah's children murdered. Now, you understand, grandma kills all of the grandchildren. She wanted to be queen. That's why. Because if one of Ahaziah's boys would rise up, he then would become king. So grandma kills all of Ahaziah's kids so that they cannot take over the kingdom. Only one child was spared. Someone took one of the grandkids by the name of Joash and hid him. Took him and hid him. Athaliah, this wicked mom or wicked grandma, she takes over that country and she becomes the queen for 7 years. She's the only queen ever to run the country of Judah, but you see how she got it. Her son dies, she murders her grandchildren, and she, by evil power, takes over. 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land." So that tells us that when the king was killed, Athaliah, grandma, she takes over. And for 7 years, she was reigning over the country. In the 7th year of her reign, the boy, the grandchild, named Joash, comes on the scene. And remember, what happened was, one of the maids or someone didn't want this little boy to be murdered. He had evidently just been born, and they heard that Athaliah was massacring all the king's kids, so they ran and hid this one boy named Joash. Hid him for 7 years. 7 years later, the queen is still in charge. A little boy by the name of Joash comes on the scene. He's 7 years of age. I think that's how old he is when all this happens. And the minute he comes on the scene, they're going to crown him king. Look at 2 Kings chapter 11, verse number 12. It says, "And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, 'God save the king.'" So this little boy comes out of hiding, and they immediately say, "Oh, phew, finally, there's the king. That boy should have been running. He should have been ruling everything. And wicked grandma, Athaliah, we don't want her to be our queen." Well, Athaliah, wicked grandma or wicked mom, she hears about this, and she runs through the kingdom screaming treason, treason. Look at 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 13 and 14. It says, "And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord." Now, what's happening is everybody's cheering that this little boy has been crowned king. And grandma, the wicked, evil queen, hears about it. So she comes running. It says, "And when," in verse 14, "And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as a manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with their trumpets, and Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, 'Treason, treason.'" She, can you believe this woman? She has all of her grandchildren slain by evil techniques. She takes over the country, and when the real honest-to-goodness king comes on the scene, she's screaming, "Well, this isn't fair. This isn't fair." That's what she means by treason. She says, you're doing the wrong thing. This isn't right. This isn't the way this is supposed to be handled. Well, finally, if you'll look at verse 16, Athaliah, wicked grandma, is put to death. And it says, "And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain," and she's put to death. Now, you young people, children, and especially teenagers, I want you to listen to me tonight. You say, "Preacher, my mom, it can sometimes be a little difficult to live with." Well, how would have you liked to have had Athaliah as your mom? You say, "Grandma's a little hard to deal with sometimes." Well, look at this grandma. You're talking about, I think calling her a pistol is, you know, a compliment. Difficult. Athaliah was greedy. Athaliah was power hungry. Athaliah, when her son died, it's almost as if she was glad that he was out of the road. She was a liar. She murdered her grandchildren. She was hateful. She stole the wealth and the power of the throne from the rightful part of her family. When her grandchildren, when her grandson was to receive the position of king, she lies again and she starts screaming treason. That would be a pretty tough parent to deal with. Now, Young people, I want you to understand something. Whoever your mom is, whoever your dad is, they're not as bad as it could be. This is one of the worst stories of a mother in the entire Bible. But you need to understand something, young people. Everyone is a sinner. The Bible teaches that very clearly. Just because someone is a mom or someone is a dad, that does not mean they're perfect. Moms and dads are human too. You know, the very same devil that tempts you young people to do wrong and misbehave, that same devil tempts mom and dad. Mom and dad have to fight their flesh, if you will. And look right this way. Mom and dad have to fight their flesh just like you have to fight your flesh. Mom and dad, that they have to learn things in life just like you have to learn things in life. You know, moms and dads, they have hurts and they have frustrations. And I need to tell you something. Being a mom and dad does not mean that someone is perfect. It does mean that they're mom and dad. And the Bible is very clear, young people. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Young people, I think you're supposed to obey mom and dad. I think you're supposed to respect mom and dad. I think you're supposed to honor mom and dad. But I've been working with young people and teenagers for a long time. And every once in a while, I'll hear this, and it's prevalent more often than what we hear it. They say, but mom and dad aren't perfect. No, they're not. Now that that's settled, let's get back to your part. Your part is to honor mom and dad and to obey mom and dad. But my mom did this or my dad did that. Okay, I understand. Moms and dads are not perfect. Moms and dads are sinners too. But you need to understand there is a right way for you as a son or a daughter to behave toward a mom and dad. There's a right way for you to behave even if mom and dad make mistakes or if mom and dad have weaknesses. Better put, wonder if mom sins. Wonder if dad sins. How are you supposed to behave? There's a right and a wrong way. Now, parents, you wouldn't want anyone to ever let the cat out of the bag that you have the potential of doing wrong, and I realize that, but a little reality goes a long way. Young people, mom and dad are subject to sin just like you, and they're fighting the same devil, and there are times when I've been a dad for a long time, and I've done a lot of dumb things. And I mishandled a lot of things. And I have to tell you, I'm not glad that I did those things. And I look back on those things and I wish I would have handled those things differently. But I'm not perfect. Young people, there's only one that was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. He's the perfect one. And you are in a situation where you have a mom and a dad, and they're not perfect. And I know that. And by the way, your mom and dad know that too. But they're your mom and dad. And you love them. And you respect them. And I'm going to talk to you about this thought. A child's relationship with parents who have weaknesses. I want to show you how to react. First of all, do your parents have a problem with their temper? Do you know this? Sometimes parents have a problem with temper. Matter of fact, I think just about everybody at one time or another has a problem with temper. Let's say your mom loses her temper from time to time, or dad loses his temper. The fact that they lost their temper does not make it right. As your pastor, I will not justify sin based on someone's position in life. No. If mom and dad lose their temper, they're not supposed to. But they already know that. But here's what you have to do. It's not your job, young person, to correct your mom and dad if they lose their temper. You're not their parent. They're yours. Now, young people, you want to get along with mom and dad? If you want to get along with mom and dad, if you'll listen to your pastor now, mom and dad may have a weakness of losing their temper from time to time, but they're still mom and dad. And God will deal with mom and dad about that. It's not your job to correct them. If you want to have a good relationship with them, but you might say, but the Bible's very clear. A soft answer turneth away wrath, and grievous words stir up anger. I know you might know the Bible, but I'd just recommend this. If your dad loses his temper, I wouldn't stick your finger in his face and say, "You shouldn't have rage. That's against the Bible." You're about to see more rage. I'm just sure of it. Don't stoke the fire, baby. Young people, I'm trying to help you. You may know something about controlling yourself and controlling temper, and you're right, but it's not your place to correct your mom and dad. And can I tell you this? And don't provoke your mom and dad. If you know something causes your dad to lose it, don't do the something. You say, but it's entertaining. No, it's not entertaining. You should never provoke someone to sin. But at least listen to this. If mom and dad lose their temper, let me tell you something. That does not justify you losing yours. Teenager, children, you listen to me. You say, "My mom lost her temper with me, so I lost mine back with her." You may think that's okay, but it is not. And young people, I'm not preaching this sermon to your mom and dad tonight. I'm preaching it to you. I'm telling you, if mom and dad lose their temper, that does not make it right for you to lose your temper with mom or dad. You say, "Well, what do I do?" Well, if they're losing it, you stay calm. Somebody has to. So if mom and dad have a weakness of maybe losing their temper some, I'm recommending to you that you don't correct them. And number two, you don't lose your temper back at them. And then number three, you remember someday, when you're a mom or you're a dad, and when you're raising your children, you stay calm all the time, no matter how stupid your kids can be. And you stay calm when your child was told 29 times not to do the same thing over and over again, and you stay calm. You might want to remember that. But if you want a good relationship with mom and dad, you don't correct them about their temper. You don't lose your temper with them. And you just learn how to control your temper. All right? Number two, young people, if you want a good relationship with mom and dad, and they have the weakness of being unfaithful to church, that doesn't make it right. By the way, I think people are supposed to be faithful to church. They're supposed to be faithful to church. There are people that will get sick and cannot come. And sometimes work dictates that they can't come. But if mom and dad are unfaithful to church, I got to tell you that we're all supposed to be as faithful to church as possible, which is probably a little more than what some people believe. It's far more possible than what some think. The smallest of things can keep us out of church. But I'm here to tell you, let me tell you though, young people, you don't correct mom and dad about their church attendance. That's not your job. They're the parent. You say, "But pastor, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is." And pastor, that word assembling there comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means churching. And I know you young people know all that. And you say, I was going to tell my mom and dad that they need to be in church, and I'm going to correct them about that. That's not your job. If you want a good relationship with mom and dad, let me tell you the right approach. You let them be mom and dad. They correct you, but you don't correct them. You'll get along far better. You say, "But wonder if they're wrong about something." God will take care of that. God will take care of that. But if you go to correcting them, and if you're making a bunch of judgments in your mind towards your mom and dad, you are going to hurt your relationship with them. The way for you to stay right with God is you let mom be mom, and you let dad be dad, and you remember, and especially you teenagers, I don't see you as a bunch of little kids, you're young adults. But you have to remember, they're still the parents. So if your mom and dad are not, maybe they're not faithful to church like they ought to, let me tell you what you do. You go ahead and come to church. And some of you folks that are here at church all the time and your kids are with you all the time, you do know we have a truckload of kids around here that come to church without their parents. And let me tell y'all something. We're proud of you. You just keep on coming. You're doing the right thing. But can I recommend something to you? You go home from church and, man, I preached a sermon and you're all pumped up and you're all excited and you walk in the house and mom and dad are sitting there watching television. You've been in church and they're home watching television. You run in with your Bible and slide across the living room floor and you say, "You sinners! You should have been in church today!" We may never see you again. Your body may be floating in a Trent, buddy. It's not your job to correct your mom and dad. God gave mom and dad. And, hey, and you will be a parent someday. And you'll handle it better. I'm just sure of it. But you be faithful. Hey, and you remember, when you're the parent someday, you set the example of faithfulness to church. And then your kids won't sit back and say, "Huh, my mom and dad have me go to church, make me go to church, and they don't come." I know that troubles you. But for now, it's not up to you to make judgment calls about it. Number three, how you can get along, young people, with your parents, even if your parents might have a weakness or two. Wonder if they have a problem with cussing. They cuss. Now, I understand the Bible. It's very clear. The Bible says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." They say, "Well, I heard my mom cuss. I heard my dad cuss. It's way too quiet in here, adult. You should be laughing right now." And I'm not preaching to the adults. Young people, if mom and dad have a problem and when they get upset, they cuss, it's wrong. They know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. God knows it's wrong. But it's not your job to correct it. You say, "Well, they've told me I can't cuss." I understand. And it's best that you not cuss. And your mom and dad's right. You shouldn't cuss. But you say, but my mom used a dirty word. I'm going to wash her mouth out with soap. Probably not. I know that it's wrong. You know it's wrong. And did you know this? Mom and dad know it's wrong too. But remember, that's their mom and dad. And God did not give you the job of correcting them when they cuss. God gave them the job of correcting you when you cuss. And so, you know, God knows if they're doing wrong. You say, "Well, who's going to correct this?" God will take care of it. God will take care of it. So you say, my dad cussed me. So I ask you, what did you do? "Well, I cussed him back." And what the Bible says, do unto others as you have done unto you. Well, I don't recommend that you cuss back. Matter of fact, I don't recommend that you cuss at all. Most people that have violent tempers usually end up using words they should not. Especially the rougher they were in life prior to getting saved. Because they come out and you're thinking, "Oh, I haven't said that in a long time." They can get away from you. You programmed so much of it into your brain. Young people, look, if mom and dad have a temper problem, it's not your job to correct them. Just don't you have a temper problem. Young people, if mom and dad have a problem about being faithful to church, don't you have a problem about being faithful to church, and don't you try to correct them. Hey, encourage them to come to church, sure. But it's not your job to make them come to church. If your parents have a problem with cursing, okay. That's wrong. And it's, but if you'd say, "Yo, I'm gonna go home and tell my mom and dad what you taught me at church tonight," you better be careful how you do it. I'm trying to show you how to respect people with weaknesses, especially if they're your leader. And whether you like it or not, young people, mom and dad's your leader. Let me go on. Number four. You want to have a good relationship with mom and dad, young people? Wonder if your parents have a problem with a lack of forgiveness in life. And so, you know, that's a sin too. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. The Bible teaches young people we are to be forgiving. And I know that. And you know that. And did you know that every adult alive knows that we are to practice forgiveness? Even the lost ones know. They know that there is to be an element of forgiveness in life. So it doesn't make it right. And young people, one thing I wish you could get out of this sermon: my behavior, your behavior, does not determine what's right and wrong. The Bible determines what's right and wrong. You say, but Pastor, shouldn't my dad do right? Yes. Shouldn't my mom do right? Yes. But if they don't do right, the Bible's always right. And doing right is always right. And so if the rest of the human race is not going to do what's right, the Bible's still right, and you're not to follow the example of people that are not doing right, follow the example of people that are doing right. But if mom and dad, you say they're not forgiving. Mom won't forgive my grandma. Dad won't forgive my uncle. Mom won't forgive my dad. Dad won't forgive my mom. My parents, they don't forgive me. Okay. They ought to forgive. I'm not going to debate that with you. It's right to forgive. But if they don't, it's not your job to correct them. It's not your job. I just recommend you not get involved. And you make sure that you are forgiving. You say, well, I don't think my mom will forgive me. I don't think my dad will forgive me. My dad, he just keeps on bringing up, I made this stupid mistake, and he brings it up over and over and over and over again. Okay, whether he's forgiven you or not, I don't know. Maybe that's how you read it, but I am going to tell you this. If mom and dad don't forgive, it's not your job to correct it, and here's what you can do. When they hurt you, or maybe they mishandle you, or they misjudge you, you forgive. You forgive them. Hey, not only are there young people that look at their parents and say they're not very forgiving in life, I think there are parents that can look at some young people when young people go in their room and slam their door and won't talk to mom and dad for days in a row because they're mad and give the cold shoulder and don't forgive. Young people, if mom and dad don't forgive, you are to be a forgiving Christian. But don't you try to correct them. God will take care of that. You say, well, Pastor, how in the world is God going to take care of that? Maybe the pastor will stand up some night in church and teach on the importance of forgiveness of parents toward their kids, and somehow a parent will say, you know what, I'm guilty of that. Not going to happen here tonight, but sometimes preachers preach on things that get parents' attention in a unique way. But I'm just telling you, what they do, there's a right way for you to respond to mom and dad. You will be the mom and dad someday. And when you're the mom and dad someday, young people, may I highly recommend to you that you're forgiving towards your children and that you're faithful to church and that you control your temper and you don't use cuss words. Let me go on. You want to have a good relationship with mom and dad. I would be careful. Let's say mom and dad have the weakness of they're very negative in their approach and they're very critical. They a lot of criticisms in life. That doesn't make it right. Why think that there are some things that are negative in life? That's the way life is. You got to face them. But everything's not negative. And the criticisms, the Bible talks about the scorners, talking about people that tear down with their lips instead of build up with their lips. See, that's how my mom and dad, they're that way all the time. Well, let me remind you something. If mom and dad are always just tearing things down, you say, mom and dad criticize you, preacher, what should I do? Just be quiet about it. I can take it. I've been criticized all my life. I don't let it eat me up and tear me up. But you say, well, they criticize, or I heard my mom criticize one of the deacons at the church. I heard my dad criticize a Sunday school teacher at the church. Let me just tell you something, young people. God will take care of that. God will take care of that. But you be careful that you don't criticize. That's what you can do about it. So and listen, young people. One of the biggest fears. Is, and I don't think mom and dad want this for you. Do you realize that you love and respect mom and dad so much, if you're not careful, you'll begin to act like them, not only in the areas of their positives, but in the areas of their negatives. And I don't think any mom and dad here want that. We want you to do better than us. We want you to be more successful than us. So don't mimic all the dumb stuff that we do. And I see in the Bible there were some pretty dumb parents that did some pretty dumb things in the Bible. I mean, you look at this gal named Athaliah. You talk about a wicked woman. I'm glad that Joash came on the scene, and the young man by the name of Joash was one of the best kings that Judah ever had. He wasn't like grandma or mom. So, if there's a lot of criticism, you avoid it. But don't you become critical in your nature. Don't you be the one that criticizes everything that's said and everything that's done and nothing's ever good enough. You be careful with that. I've got a couple more and then we'll be done. Young people, if you want to have a good relationship with mom and dad, if your parents begin to have problems in their marriage, you need to be very careful how you handle yourself. You say, what do you do? Just so you know, you won't fix it. 13, 14, and 15-year-olds don't fix marriages. Matter of fact, if they don't handle themselves right, they make them worse. And so you know, if your mom and dad are smart, when they're having a hard time in their marriage, they'll come see the preacher and let the preacher help them. That's what they'll do. They'll let the preacher help them. But you won't fix it. You won't fix it. You say, well, what do I do, preacher? You love them both. You love them both. And love your brothers and sisters while you go through a hard time at home. And the truth is, I'll say this now. If mom and dad have a fuss at home, if mom and dad are not getting along at home, and something happens, last thing you need to do is go talking about that. You don't need to spread that all over the place. If you have a Facebook account, you shouldn't be talking about what, you know, mom and dad were mad at each other today. And if you're texting, you shouldn't be talking about that. If you need help, young people, ask Brother and Mrs. Ellswick if you need to talk a little bit. Or if you need help with something, you can come see your preacher. But telling everybody in the church and everybody you know that mom and dad were fighting and fussing is not a good idea. And every once in a while, there's a slight chance that a mom and dad might have a disagreement at home that wasn't handled exactly right. I'm being polite now. But young people, if you want to get along with mom and dad, if I were you, I wouldn't throw yourself in the middle of it. I wouldn't go telling everybody that your opinion of it all. You love them both. You don't spread their troubles. I wouldn't take sides. You say, well, shouldn't I be on somebody's side? Absolutely. Be on God's side. You say, well, I want to help. Then pray. Pray for your mom and dad. And you know something? One day you'll be a mom and dad. Well, you'll be one or the other. And you might find out it's not as easy as it looks. And you might find out that one day there might be a moment of tension in your marriage. The last thing you'll want is your kids blabbing it to everybody and getting involved and plotting mom against dad and dad against mom and making it worse. If you love your mom and dad, love them both, pray for them both, don't spread if they're having a hard time. You'll have a better relationship with them that way. You'll have a better relationship. Then, one day when you're married, don't you ever raise your voice at your mate. Always do the right thing. Always be kind and generous and patient and understanding and forgiving and tender and slow to wrath like you require of your mom and dad now. But then by chance, young people, if you don't handle your marriage well, then you come see the preacher and I'll try to help you too. But always remember, mom and dad are always mom and dad. And I want you to love your mom and dad. And I want you to respect your mom and dad. And moms and dads, God never created a perfect mom and dad. We struggle with the same things that everybody else struggles with. And if you understood the truth, we want better for you than what we had for ourselves. And we want you to do better. And we don't want you to take on our negatives. We want you to take on the positives. We want you to succeed and be happier and more successful than what we are. But if you want to get along with mom and dad, you always remember, not your job to fix them. It's their job to help fix you. And there may be times, I hate this, you say, this isn't fair. I know, but listen, there may be times they will require something of you that they don't seem to require themselves. You know what? If what they require of you is good and right, but they don't require it of themselves, it's still good and right. And if you're mature, you'll look at it and say, you know what? My dad won't let me sass my mom. And he's right. Now, my dad sasses my mom and is abusive with his words toward her all the time. But it's right for me not to sass my mom. Young people, if you're listening to your pastor, I'm helping you. Because, well, I grew up too. I lived at home, and I watched a mom and dad, and I watched how it worked. And there were times I were frustrated. There were times I wanted my bad behavior to be justified because what my mom did or what my dad did or what they said or how they handled themselves. But when I let the Lord get a hold of my heart, the Lord said, you need to do what's right, Jeff Owens, no matter what everybody else does, even if it's mom and dad. And you need to love and respect them. And I do. Let me give you one more and we're done. Young people, if you want to have a good relationship with mom and dad, if mom and dad have problems with some of the worst sins of life, you know, we talked about temper and church and, you know, being critical, but wonder if it's even some worse sins of life. How do you handle yourself? You remember their mom and dad. And sin is sin. Whether mom commits it, dad commits it, grandma commits it, grandpa commits it, you commit it, sin is sin. You say, well, my mom and dad do drugs. Okay, that's wrong. They shouldn't. They already know that if they do. You say, well, what do I do about that? You don't do drugs. You do the right thing. You say, well, mom and dad do it. If mom and dad does it, it doesn't make it right. And I'm not attacking your mom and dad right now. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches if it's right, it's right. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. And if mom and dad do something they shouldn't do, don't you do something you should not do. I don't think mom and dad wants you to do that anyway. They drink liquor, okay? The Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You do right. They smoke. You do right, young people. You say they watch wicked things on television. They've got wicked videos. Listen, you do what's right. Young people, you do what's right. You're not in charge of your home. You're not the one that makes all the decisions at home. Someday you will. I hope you're pure and clean and honest and decent and moral. But until then, you're going to live in the home where you're living. And if you know the difference between right and wrong, you do right. You say, well, who's going to correct my mom? It's not you. Who's going to correct my dad? It's not you. Who's going to do it? God. God. You say, how will he do it? That might be the preacher's preaching. I would be careful preaching sermons to your parents about their sins. You'll get into trouble that way. You just do right. And I'll promise you something, young people. One of these days, you'll grow up and you'll be a parent. And here's what you can do. You can show all the rest of us how it's done. You'll have your shot at it. But for now, he's dad, she's mom, and God made them head over your household. And there's a right way for you to act toward a mom and dad that might even have a weakness or two. We've all got them. Their misbehavior does not justify yours. It's not your job to correct them, but theirs to correct you. You just do the right thing. And everything will, your relationship will remain strong. But if you rebel against your mom and dad, did you know that rebellion is as bad as what they're doing wrong? You say, well, I think they're hypocrites. Let me tell you something. That doesn't need to be said. You say, I think somebody needs to know. If they're hypocrites, God already knows. And he's the one that needed to know. He's the one that's in charge of this whole thing. And if you feel like, well, I don't think anybody understands me, preacher, I think God understands you. And if you've listened to your pastor tonight, I'm going to guess you'd say, I think he understands too. Okay, you want to get along with mom and dad. But I can tell you, whoever your mom is, whoever your dad is, it could be worse. It could be worse. You look at this wicked woman named Athaliah. Picture it. Her son dies and she parties. She murders all of her grandkids. In an evil way takes over the entire fortune of the family. And then when the rightful grandchild steps up, she's trying to get people to murder him by yelling treason. That's pretty bad. I don't think any of you have to deal with that. Matter of fact, all of you are alive to hear the sermon. And so, this is how children can get along with their parents, even if their parents have a few weaknesses. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. children and teenagers, mom and dad know the difference between right and wrong. That doesn't mean they'll always practice right. I hope they will. I think they try to. And most of you, I know your parents very well, and they're very good people, and they're trying very hard to serve God. But young people, you just have to do the right that you know to do. Don't you correct mom and dad. Don't you try. They'll have to fix themselves. Young people, you'll have your hands full just fixing yourself. Who here would say, young people, how many of you would say, preacher, I learned something. I was listening to what you said. And I'll try. I promise I'm going to try hard to respond properly, even if at home there's some things that don't go maybe as well as what I'd like to see them go. Would you raise your hand and say, I want to. I want to live the right way. I want to handle the hardships and the tough times well. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Hey, would there be a mom and dad tonight that might say, preacher, I feel a little challenged by the lesson to the young people tonight. I feel a little challenged by it, and God's spoken to my heart about some things. Would you raise your hand? There are hands up all over the place. God, put your hands down if you would. God loves us, and we're in a sin-cursed world. We've got to learn how to live right in this world, and it's not always real easy. If you need the altar will be open for you tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need to mow the altar, you come. Young people, maybe you need to come and pray for a second. Say, you know, sometimes I don't respond right to mom and dad. I criticize them because of their weaknesses. Now, we know the weaknesses are there, but look, that's not your place. But maybe you need a moment at the altar. Maybe you need to come and pray and say, God, help me. Help me to do it right. Moms and dads, people are watching. They're watching. They know. Look, they're around too much good teaching and preaching, and you've taught them well. You have taught them well. So they'll see those moments when your weaknesses are revealed. They're going to recognize them. They're going to see them. Be careful. It gets confusing to them. Boys and girls, teenagers, it's not your job to correct your mom and dad. It's not your job to judge your mom and dad. It's your job to honor them and love them. And that's what you need to do. If they misbehave, you don't have to mimic that misbehavior. If they lose their temper and cuss you, you should never lose your temper and cuss back. You say, well, I feel like they hate me right now. Then you love them, because you're not supposed to hate when you're hated. Say, they won't forgive. Yeah. Then you forgive. Your parents' wrong or weakness does not justify your wrong or weakness. You're to do right. Even if mom and dad are not, you do right. Ushers, if you have some of the prayer bulletins, we're going to get through it here in a moment, so make sure you have those ready to go. This is the last time through the song, and then we'll look at the prayer bulletin and be on our way.